Lord, in prayer this morning. Our Father, we thank you that your mercy is great to us, that your grace continues to be ever present in our lives through the giving of your Holy Spirit. We ask, dear Lord, that you would be with us now, enable us to honor you and glorify you through Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord and Most High God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. We thank you that we can study this word. No matter how much we study it, we can never reach the depths of all that you have placed there. But yet it is so easy to understand that we are able to see without any question our relationship to you, the great goodness that you have for us, the mercy that you give to us, the provision that you have made for us, and the great reward that you have that we would see in that great day. Be with those who are en route, who are still traveling. We pray that you would keep them safe. For those who are listening online, we ask that you would help them, dear Lord God, to understand the things taught. Bless us now in your holy name, we pray. Amen. Well, we have a continuation in our study of the book of Galatians here this morning. We are at that pivotal passage in the book of Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 16. We got a toehold into that last week, and hopefully we'll be able to come to grips with all that it has to say this week. But we may not. The reason that we may not is that the Apostle Paul has, in this chapter, almost put a bookmark which divides everything from one another. This, you could even say that verse 16 of Galatians is the theme of the entire book of the Bible, the New Testament. It talks about the old versus the new. It talks about the works of the law versus justification by faith. It continues to see, to help us to see that those things are absolutely necessary for us to be able to understand. So if you'll get your Bibles and read, we'll read again, beginning in the beginning of this section, in which the Apostle Paul sets the difference between Jews and Gentiles. In verse 15, where he says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. For we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order that we are justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one shall be justified." Now, lest we misunderstand that the Apostle Paul wants to make a point, in one verse he repeats exactly the same thing three times. And so I think that this is something that we need to absolutely get a handle on and to understand, because the Apostle Paul says this is the heart of what God, Jesus Christ, revealed to me when he revealed to me the gospel. Now, we remember where the Apostle Paul is in Galatians. He has set forth that his apostleship in chapter 1 comes directly from Jesus Christ himself. All of the other apostles were apostles. How and why? Because they had been with him for 3 years through all of his ministries. That's one of the things that we see in Acts 1 when they have to choose a replacement for Judas. Number one, we see that they felt necessary to have that complete number of 12, not just simply say, "Oh, well, we were 12, but now we're 11. And secondly, one of the things is that they needed to be those who go through, excuse me, seems like spring has sprung. So we'll try and get through that. But we are seeing that it was necessary that the man be with them the entirety of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Well, the Apostle Paul wasn't. And so the argument could be made, you weren't, you aren't. You weren't there when Jesus Christ was on earth. You therefore aren't an apostle. And he says, oh, no, because I was made an apostle directly by revelation of Jesus Christ. Amazing. I cannot even imagine what it would be like to be arrested and spoken to by the risen, ascended, seated at his glory, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we saw that the gospel he preached didn't come from the Jerusalem apostles, but again, it came not only as apostleship, but his presentation of the gospel came through revelation. Now, just by way what else came from by the Apostle Paul from revelation of Jesus Christ? That we say, that we talk about every single Lord's Day. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed. So all of this, so that's going to be interesting, that one of the things that the Apostle Paul was talked to about, or Ben, as my mom used to say, given a talking to about, was the Lord's Supper. And that's one of those interesting things in the revelation, not only the gospel, but the Lord's Supper. He says that that gospel was acknowledged by the Jerusalem apostles to be true. He was validated as truly being a missionary apostle to the Gentiles. That all came out as we looked in chapter 2. And then finally, we saw that the problem of circumcision and separation from Jew and Gentile, that requirement to become a Jew had unfortunately continued. And it continued through the very apostles through whom through the Apostle Paul had met with and gotten the approval of. And that's where we are. So in the timeline, Ed, I think more and more I am becoming more and more fixed in my understanding that Galatians was written before the Jerusalem Council. It just had to have been. Because after that, James indeed sent his emissaries to Antioch, but he didn't send those who were going to be proclaiming that you had to be circumcised, you had to live by the law of Moses. Who were the ones that James sent after the Jerusalem Council? Well, it was Silas. And Silas was in complete agreement with the Apostle Paul to the extent that the Apostle Paul, when he was getting ready to go on the second missionary journey, took Silas with him. And so the person that he sent from James after the Jerusalem Council was in complete harmony. And there was no more debate about circumcision within the Christian community. It's going to continue to pop up, but it's going to have been dealt with. All right. So the Apostle Paul then, last week, we jumped into the whole concept in verse 16 about justification. Justification, we saw, is a term which has to do with legality, being justified, being declared to be not guilty. All of those issues, and that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Now, one of the things that we're going to be talking about, Dwayne talked about this last time, is that there is a philosophy, there is a teaching which is current today, which comes in and says, no, justification is not that. And we're going to speak about that here in a minute. We're going to be talking about that this morning. But the Apostle Paul says that we are not justified out of works, but through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be taking a look at those this morning. His argument, all right, that justification does not take place because you have accomplished some things by doing works of the Mosaic law. It is accomplished by faith in the person of Jesus Christ, the totality of whose work accomplished everything that was required to be justified. And again, that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about. All right. So as we have said, Galatians is pivotal in our understanding of everything that the gospel will argue, or excuse me, that the apostle will argue, which is the gospel, that everything that he will say in this letter has to do with that. It is the, if you will, the introductory sentence. It is the thesis statement of the essay, as my high school students learned that when you're writing down, you need to start off with, number one, something that is going to catch the audience's attention, and number two, you need to have a powerful, succinct thesis statement. And for the Apostle Paul, verse 16 of Galatians 2 is just that. Now, in order for us to understand this concept, it is essential that we understand three different words. So there's going to be a large definition. Would you believe that in the 2,000-year history of the church that these words have been debated, discussed, talked about, argued over, just simply the definition of what they mean? Absolutely. And that's going to be, again, to this day, this is going to be one of those things that as we talk about this new perspective that has come along in the last 30 or 40 years, that we are going to be looking at these three words. And they are that, we, as we talked about last week, justification. The secondly, asking the question, what is a work of the law? Because there are going to be different understandings about just what exactly that means. And then thirdly, what is faith in Jesus Christ? So in order for us to understand verse 16 of chapter 2 in Galatians, it is going to be very, very, very important that we understand. All right, we talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to make sure that we understand that when we're talking about justification, that there is a primary meaning for justification that we have talked about, but there is also a secondary meaning. And the Apostle Paul is going to talk about both of these in his letter to the Galatians so that we need to understand. The primary meaning, of course, is that declaration that one is righteous. We saw that it was not one has been made righteous. That is the doctrine of the Catholic Church, which is centered at Rome. It is also the doctrine of the Catholic Church, which is centered at Istanbul or the Eastern Orthodox Church, that you are made to be righteous. And then once you are made righteous, then God can make the declaration of that you are righteous. Now, brothers, it took me a long time to understand that because I am a math guy. I am a science guy. I am a cause and effect, that God cannot be looking at me and say, you are righteous, and he knows, but I know you're really not. When God makes that declaration, he makes it a declaration about someone who is a sinner. But the act of declaration of righteousness, the act of justification, is not without cause, but it is that my account that I said I owe big time is credited with being at zero. Now, at the same time, we're going to see that Jesus Christ had just a little to do with that. Because my account didn't just be zero because God declared it to be zero. God declared it to be zero because the debt I owed had been satisfied. And that's an important thing that we understand, that Jesus Christ paid, as our song says, paid the debt that he did not owe because I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. And that's one of the things that we look at. All right. So we see that that's our primary thing. It is not a declaration based on nothing. It is a declaration based on Christ's work. Now, what did he do? Because the cross is just one of the works of Jesus Christ that account for justification. Believe it or not, the birth of Jesus Christ is a part of that. How could the birth of Jesus Christ have anything to do with anything but Christmas? If Jesus Christ had not been born of a virgin, if he had not been born as a man, he could not have satisfied the requirement of my debt. Not only did his birth, was his birth required, but his life was required. One of the things that we read in Scripture is that we shall be saved by his life, by his living a perfect life. Now, that's going to come into play a little bit later on this morning, because one of the things that we're going to talk about when it talks about works of the law is what Jesus did do. And so works of the law are not something that I can do perfectly, but it is something that Jesus Christ did. So we're saved by his birth. We are saved by his life. We are saved by his death on the cross. We are saved by his resurrection, and we are saved, synonym for justified, by his ascension and being seated at the right hand. So we're saved by his birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and finally, his rule from on high. We are justified, all of that. That's what put my account at zero. That is the essential part of the gospel. But that primary meaning is not the only thing that the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about here in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, he's also going to be referring to a secondary meaning of justification. And this is where it gets a little bit fuzzy, because what the Apostle Paul is talking about is that justification sometimes is used for a synonym for what we call sanctification. Justification is technically that declaration, and sanctification is technically that which then takes over and makes us more and more and more righteous every day. But there is a sense in which as I become more and more righteous, I become, if you will, more and more justified. Now, just please understand that that's simply the use of that term. I am justified, but I am being justified, and I will be justified. That's certainly referring to the final totality of that judgment. Now, why do I say that? Well, the Apostle Paul is kind of taking that. You remember from time to time, we talk about the tenses of Greek verbs. And the Greek verb, for example, the present tense is something that is happening now that continues to be ongoing. When I was driving here this morning, I experienced a present tense verb, and that is the running of a marathon. Perhaps when you were driving here this morning, the Austin Marathon, you saw these people who were in the process of running the marathon and gasping for breath and running, and some had smiles on their face, some were looking, but they were all in the process of, present tense, or something that in the past tense has happened. This one is, this concept of justification is like what I would refer to as the perfect tense. The perfect tense in Greek is the one that is taking something that happened in the past, but yet it continues to have effects on into the present. All right, the event happened in the past, but now I have effects. I bought a new car, but now I continue to be able to use that car on a daily basis. That's kind of what we're talking about. So in that sense, we are justified, but we are justified, if you will understand what I'm meaning. And that's the secondary thing. Now, this is going to be a very important thing, all right? It is a secondary aspect to this primary concept, but it indicates that because we are now a separated, unique people of God, then we are going to experience that continually being like God. Now, that's going to be confusing to a Jew. Because when a Jew, think about before Christ, thinks about being justified, does he think about the fact that when Moses established the nation of Israel during the Exodus, and the nation was all formed before it was just a loose amalgamation of family members and tribes, but then it became a nation, did they think about being a Jew? No, I am a Jew. All right? I am a Jew. But yet we continue to see that I need to do the works of the law in order to be justified. Okay? So that's going to be a very important thing that the Apostle Paul is going to argue against as we go through the book of Galatians. That, in reality, is going to be what took place when he had to confront Peter, wasn't it? Was Peter coming up and saying, all of these Gentiles, all right, you are not saved because you are not? No. What was he saying? Well, you guys have to eat over there, but we Jews have a different set of rules and regulations, and we cannot have anything to do with you when we eat. And what did the Apostle Paul say based on what we just studied, you know, a couple of verses earlier? He says the Apostle Peter was being hypocritical. It was requiring them. In fact, that's important enough to look back at verse 14. You are not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel. I said to Cephas in the presence of all, you being a Jew, live like the Gentiles. See, there is the concept. You live like the Gentiles. ESV translates that and says, you live like the Gentiles, not like a Jew. How can you then force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Now, did they say that the Gentiles were not believers? Not at all. The whole concept is that we have now crossed over from that declaration of righteousness into a day-to-day living righteousness. And the Apostle Paul says that also is an issue of justification, and justification which is not to be living by the works of the law, but living by faith in Jesus Christ. And so here in verse 16, we're going to be addressing both of those. All right? So there's both of those that are going to be. Now, what is the implication? Because this is what the concept of the Jews were. All right? Do you recall back in Luke chapter 18 is where it's found, if you want to turn there real quickly. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Remember what the publican is? The publican is the Jewish tax gatherer. He was the dregs of society. He was the dirt of dirt. All right? Because he was a Jew, but yet he was working for the enemy. He was working for the Romans. Not only was he working for the Romans, but in order for him to work for the Romans, he had to stick it to his fellow Jews. You'll recall the way that they gathered taxes is that the publicans just simply signed a contract with Rome that says, I will give you X number of dollars or X number of denarii or whatever it was that the contract was for. Now, did the tax gatherers stop when they got that amount of money, gave it over to the Romans and says, this is great. I've done my job for the rest of, you know, for the rest of the time. I don't have anything to do. Absolutely not. Because he had the power to extract money from his fellow Jews. So here's this wicked, wicked person. The Jews hated publicans. All right? They were only about an eighth of a notch above Gentile sinners. Prostitutes were higher on the realm than publicans. Anyway, the publican and the Pharisee, the parable, if you'll recall, let me go to Luke chapter 18 and get that for you, because this is a very, very important point. Luke chapter 18, we read verse 9, he said, he told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now, there's going to be a very important concept. Number one, what word is mentioned there? Trusted in themselves that they were what? Righteous. That's the same concept of being justified. Secondly, it says, here is how you get to be righteous. Now, is this how you get to be a Jew? No, it is not how you get to be a Jew. You already are a Jew. The publican is already a Jew. The Pharisee is talking about how I get to be righteous. Two men went up to the temple and so on. One pray fastest, and so on. Verse 13, the tax gatherer stands far off, would not even lift up his eyes, beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to sinners. You'll recall that word for merciful is actually be propitious, propitiate me, pay the penalty for me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house, and here in verse 14, there is our word, justified. And there is the concept. Once again, it is not entry into the Jewish community. It is, as a Jew, you need to continue to work your way to be more and more righteous. And that is exactly exactly what the Jew is speaking about. All right. I'm not going to say anything more about justification. The next concept that we need to make sure that we understand is this concept of what is called works of the law. Now, is that important here in Galatians 2:16? Well, it's mentioned three times in this one verse. Works of the law, not justified. Not justified by works of the law. All right? By works of the law shall no one be justified. The Apostle Paul triple makes his point here. Now, that's three of actually only eight places in the entirety of the New Testament that that concept is talked about. And it is always talked about in terms of justification, works of the law. So the question is, what does this mean? All right, by the way, if you're interested, we've got those two. We've got three more that are getting ready to be spoken about in the immediate context, all the way in Galatians 3 on down for the first half dozen or so verses. We're going to see this concept of works of the law coming out. The other two are found in Romans, where it says exactly the same thing. Through the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That's 3 in verse 20, verse 3 and 28. Man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So the works of the law pretty clearly have to do with respect to justification. And I would have to say, not only with respect to that initial declaration of justification that we would call similar to conversion, salvation, justification, but also one of the things, and this is what the Apostle Paul points out, once you are a believer, it is a continuation of that same bad philosophy to say, okay, now that you are saved, you need to go back and be saved by works of the law. And that's going to be one of his arguments throughout the book of Galatians, so that we're going to see that he addresses both of those in the book. All right. So, three common understandings about what that is. Number one, what we have just talked about, that I am gaining some merit or favor from God by doing works of the law. That's what I would refer to as the legalistic understanding of works of the law. I do something, I am going to be gained, or I'm going to have favor with God if I do these works. All right. Secondly, commentators understand this as the works of the law are just simply those works that the law, not that I am doing for God, but that the law itself is requiring. A little bit of a distinction there. All right. If you keep them, the problem with that is if you keep one, what does the Bible say? There it is. If you're going to say you got to do one of them, you're going to be required to do all of those. I think both Paul and James have something to say about that. The third one, and I need to be very brief, I don't want to spend a lot of time about that, but this has to do with what we were talking about earlier, that there is a new concept that has come around since about the 1970s, in that we who were very, very smart went back and were studying what was Judaism really like. Did they really think that, like that Pharisee, that they were being more and more righteous because they did works of the law? And this particular perspective says, no. The Jews believe that God saved them by grace just like anyone else. That what they were, these works of the law that they were talking about were called, well, this perspective is called the new perspective. Says, no, these works of the law are just boundary markers that mark out what is a Jew and what is a Gentile. For example, circumcision. All right? What did you have to do to become a Jew? Be circumcised. Okay? Did you have to agree with everything? Or, no, you just have to become circumcised. And so what this particular perspective is talking about is that the thing that the Apostle Paul is talking about in justification and these works of the law are nothing more than these things which segregate one group from another group. Remember what the Apostle Paul talked about when he had to confront Peter. It wasn't he saying, you guys are saved and you guys are not saved. It was a, we need to have these boundary markers, circumcision, you know, obeying all of the laws of Moses and so on. We need to have these boundary markers because ethnically we are Jews. Ethnically, you are not. By the way, what does verse 15 say? This fits right into their understanding. Doesn't the Apostle Paul say, we are Jews naturally, you are sinners from among the Gentiles? Isn't that what the Apostle Paul says? Well, that fits exactly with what we're saying. The problem is not talking about justification and being saved or not saved. The problem, according to the new perspective, is that within the community of believers, we have a new group. And we have one group who is standing against another group. They are discriminating. They are saying, you can't come into our group because you don't have these works of the law. Therefore, how would this perspective talk about justification? Well, belief in Jesus Christ, that got us, that's fine with them. All right. Living our lives in accordance with the commands of Christ, that's not a problem with them. But what the issue then comes out is that in order for us to be, and in fact, justification then is not just a declaration of our being righteous, our account before God. Justification is just simply, are you a member of our club? We'll call this club the Christian club. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, you are justified. Well, the problem is this justification has just simply become one of those things. So what's the Apostle Paul talking about according to the new perspective here in Galatians 16? He's simply saying within the community of believers, this dividing line between Jew and Gentile ought not to be justified not by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, you want to do the works of the law, that's fine, but you need to understand. Now, this whole concept of what is the new perspective, on one hand, makes a lot of sense. We have even had Dayspringers who have gone and studied this and said, you know, this makes total sense. I think that this is right. The one issue that comes to grips is that this particular issue then says, this, if justification is just simply members of the, what my good Presbyterian friends call, the covenant community, and that's all that's being talked about, and therefore by being a member of the covenant community, you are righteous, you are saints. After all, doesn't the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to the Corinthians, say that he's writing to saints, and then he identifies some real stinkers in there? Okay, so in other words, the covenant community continues to be a mixed group. Therefore, they have a real problem with what is called the doctrine of imputation of righteousness. That justification is taking Christ's righteousness and accounting that to me. Well, if justification doesn't mean that my debt is at zero, then I don't need imputation. If it says I could be a sinner, could not be a sinner. Well, what am I judged on? What will I be judged? Well, doesn't the Apostle Paul says we will all stand where? At the end time. Before the judgment seat of Christ. By your works you shall know them. All right? There are all kinds of things. Romans 2 and verse 13. It is not the hearer of the law, but the doer of the law who is justified. And so now, all of a sudden, what is the whole concept? Well, this particular group is trying to account for what, in some sense, we all are trying to account for, and that is a reaction to the old 60s and 70s concept of those who have faith in Jesus Christ, but, quote unquote, I'm just a carnal Christian. I don't have anything to do, you know, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's not the Lord of my life. And so they're trying to account for that by saying, no, when you get into the throne room of heaven at the end of time, standing before them, it is your works that will be judged. Now, they're not going to deny that those works come from the Holy Spirit. Those works are not going to deny as I am increasing in holiness. I'm going to have those works that were, I mean, all of the very reformed things that we understand. The problem is going back to my account before God. And that is that Jesus Christ in his righteousness is imputed to me. If it's not, then I have a big problem. Because at that point, when God looks at me, what's he going to look at if he's only looking at my work? He's going to do the same thing we just talked about, James talks about. Yeah, you did this work, 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 but what's the problem? You didn't do all that the requirement is. There is no way. If my righteousness is not the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then the judgment I will receive is the judgment of that one who did not satisfy the righteousness of God. In other words, kind of says the righteousness of God is kind of like the nation of Israel. You are a holy people. But yet what happened to an entire generation when they crossed the desert after Mount Sinai? A whole generation had to be done away with because they were not righteous and did not believe God. All right. I'm not going to say a lot more could be said. Much ink has been spilled on that. I do want to go to the last of our concepts. Let me just review what we've just said. All right. Justification, two parts. Primarily a declaration of righteousness. Secondarily, a requirement for holiness throughout life. Justification throughout life. And then even finally, final justification. Works of the law are things that I do, whether it's things that the law requires of me or things that I do in order to try. There is none of those things. No human acts. Well, let me see. No human acts of obedience which are performed that will gain me merit before God. All of those things, works of the law. The third one is going to be very important because back to Galatians 2 and verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by works, but through faith in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. Even we who have believed in Christ Jesus, we may just be justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law, since by works of the law are no man. Again, not only is he mentioned works of the law three times, he's also been mentioned faith in Christ Jesus. Now, one of the problems that we have from this is that we have two ways that we can, and two equally valid ways that we can interpret or we can translate what this text says. Because the translation is just simply the old King James is that this is the faith of Christ. All right? It is what we call in English grammar, Christ is nothing more than the one who possesses the faith of Christ. That's what all three of those is. Well, you'll notice that in almost every translation, it is faith in Christ, not the faith of Christ. All right? Well, the translators are no dummies. All right? These are, genitive is the possessive concept. And one of the problems is throughout the Bible, all right, or throughout the New Testament in which Greek is used, they are both equally able to be translated. All right. One is called an object. In other words, the faith whose object is Christ, or the subject, the faith whose or the faith who is possessed by Christ. The problem in this case is that both of those are true. We are saved through is the word there. We are saved through our faith in Jesus Christ. What does Galatians 2, 8 and 9 say? By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. All right? It is an instrument that God uses. At the same time, it is the faithfulness of Christ that allows my faith to be efficacious. Now, what do I mean by faithfulness? And what is meant by the faithfulness of Christ? All of those things that we talked about earlier that Jesus Christ is the one who has done. All right? Jesus Christ has taken on the form of man, was born through the Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ has lived a perfect life. He was entirely faithful to the law. The only one who is ever faithful to the law. If we are saved, we are saved by his life. By his death, we are saved. All right? All of those are parcels of the concept of Jesus Christ's faithfulness. Which one of these is this verse talking about? Because both can be, in fact, both are true. Both are in this line of what all happens to me. All right? Which one always comes first? The faithfulness of Christ has come first. His obedience, his dying on the cross, even before the foundation of the world, that has come first. What about my faith? That is always the conduit. Let me see if I can say. It is always the conduit to which I can get to the other side. It is the, quote the 1960s songs, the bridge over troubled waters. It is the thing that gets me into a concept of being righteousness. Without faith, I can't get there. Now, the question is, how are we to understand this? And what on earth does this mean? All right? Because we have the problem. Both are true. All right? We are justified because of his righteousness. We are not justified because of our faith. But if we're not justified because of our faith, then why does it say, why do every one of our translations is says that we are justified not by works of the law, but through faith? In other words, as I had said earlier, faith is that conduit that leads me into righteousness. It is the thing without which I am not saved. As a result of that, what was Martin Luther say the hallmark of the Reformation was? Justification by faith. And that's one of the things that we're able to see, is that we are justified by faith, actually through faith, but we are justified not by or by faith. Why do we have an issue? Why has this even become an issue? Well, unfortunately, because we have a whole element of Christianity today that says we are justified because of our faith. And that's a big difference. All right? We are justified because I have faith. God has paid the penalty for every single sin that ever was. He is death for every person, the entire world. They're died according to this philosophy, or actually theology. But the whole concept is that only believers will have eternal life. So ultimately, what saves me? My belief. And my belief becomes what this very text talks about, that work of the law. Belief in Jesus Christ becomes a work of the law. Now, if we're understanding properly that our faith in Jesus Christ is something that I have been given as a gift by God, that I exercise, that God uses in my life in order that I might be saved. Is that accurate? The Philippian jailer would say, you bet it is. I asked the Apostle Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Not wait there until the messenger knocks on the door with a gift of faith from God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the message of the gospel? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Those who do not believe have been judged already, as we look at those and we continue on. And so we see that both of these are true. The question is, what is the Apostle Paul talking about? This is not going to be an easy question to answer. This is one of the things that I think that might help us. And this is, I'm going to differ by some good brethren who have come before me, and I'm going to be in agreement with some good brethren who have come before me and continue to be. Are we saved by works of the law? The answer is, yes, we are. We are saved by works of the law. We are justified by works of the law. My works of the law? No. By Christ's works of the law. And so one of the things then, that if we are saved by Christ's faithfulness, all right, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Galatians chapter 2 is that, because is it very clear to you that we are not saved by works of the law? Is it very clear from verse 16, brethren, that we are not saved by works of the law? Yeah, three times. By works of the law shall no man be justified. And so, is that a denial of Jesus Christ's fulfillment of the works of the law? All right, if that's what we're talking about. And so, therefore, one of the things that we're looking at then is that probably in this particular text, now in others, we're talking about the faith of Christ. All right, in other passages. In this particular passage, I think that we're talking about the faith with Jesus Christ as the object. All right? Now, again, as I said, both are true. We are saved by faith in Christ. We are saved by the faith of Christ. Both are true. And Christ was not justified by works of the law. No, Christ was justified before the law. All right, the giving of the law. I think that's a good point. For those of you who didn't hear what Ben said that that Jesus Christ himself was not justified because he did the works of the law. Jesus Christ was not set on earth with saying, okay, if you do it, then this will be great. If you don't do it, then, oh, dear, you know, we'll have to go to plan C. No, Jesus Christ is the righteousness of the law. And that's one of the things that regardless. Now, as the one who declares the law, then he is the one who declares. So I think that what we're able to understand then is that what the Apostle Paul is going to be talking about is that he is going to be talking about what we are responsible for doing. All right. Because believe it or not, he's not saying that you are therefore not to do the works of the law. He's not saying that. All right. He's saying that when we're talking about this whole justification in both senses, the declaration of being righteous and the continual living as a righteous being, works of the law are not something that you go to and said, okay, I'm saved by grace. Now, give me those laws. You know, give me that Sabbath. Give me that don't commit murder. Give me that whatever it is, laws that I need to do. Because those I can do now that I've got the Spirit. No. What, in fact, that's going to be exactly the point that he's going to be making throughout the book of Galatians. That's why at the very end of the book of Galatians, we're going to talk about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's where the Apostle Paul is going with that. All right. These are the things then. And this is the emphasis. All right. Now, there are all kinds of other things that go along with that. We're out of time this morning, but we will continue then in the Apostle Paul's argument. We're going to go next week and to try and see if we can't make it in, down into verse 9, because it said, through the law, I died to the law. And if I, never mind, we're not going to do that this morning. All right. But this is a rich, rich, rich section, brothers and sisters. And all of these things, may God be glorified as he helps to expand our minds to see my responsibility to him. Let's pray. Be with us now, Holy Father. Be with us and bless us. Give us your mercy. Give us your grace. We pray that you would be with us and help us to understand that Jesus Christ has paid every single debt that I owed, but my responsibility is daily, minute by minute, to be appreciative of that, living as Jesus Christ would have us to live. Be with us now in the coming hours. We worship you. We pray that you would help the Word of God to go forth, that your grace and mercy would be with us. In your name we pray. Amen.